الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين بعدد من صلى وصام وبعدد من قعد وقام. There's a very unique action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times in the Quran instructs the believers to do many things. For example, the believers have been told to remember Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Make abundant dhikr. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may say, aqim al-salah, right? Establish the prayer. So in different places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers to engage in different actions. However, in one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the action with his own self, and then he instructs that the angels themselves are performing this action, and then he tells the believers to perform this action. And that particular action is sending salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it comes in the Quran, Inna Allaha, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa malaikatahu, and his angels. So who is mentioned first? Allah, then his angels. يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. They are sending salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. You send salat on him as well. وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And send salam on him as well. So this is something which is a very unique action. This is something that is so amazing that in every prayer, we do this, right? Every time we sit at the end of our prayer, we end it by sending our salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically. When we read the Durood Sharif. And even though so many of us read it so often, many of us don't have a very clear understanding of what it means when we say that, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. What does that really mean? We say that we're sending Durood, we know that we're sending salat, we know that it's something which is in the positive. What does it particularly mean when we say Sallu Alayhi or Allahumma Salli Ala Sayyidina Muhammad? Salat has many different meanings and the ulama have written different things on the topic. One of the translations or some of the meanings which have been given to Salat are the following. Sometimes Salat comes in the meaning of Dua. To make a Dua for something, you can also use the word Salat. Sometimes when you use the word salah, it comes in the meaning of rahmah. Right? So when you ask Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, meaning send rahmah down on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes it also comes in the meaning of praise. That when a person extols the praise of another individual, that also falls within the purview, within the ambit of this word salat. And when we say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim, and where it comes in the Quran, wa sallimu taslima, that we not only do we send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also send salam on him. Salam also has multiple meanings. One salam is very simple, the salam that me and you say to each other when we meet each other. We say assalamu alaykum. So this is a greeting that you send to someone else. So this is one meaning of sending salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, we know that the Anbiya are alive in their graves. And it comes in numerous narrations that when a person sends salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an angel that goes and conveys it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says what he said, and he also informs him who is saying it. Right? This is conveyed regularly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one can only begin to imagine this type of personality, this insan-e kamil, that from hundreds and hundreds of years, every single day, millions, not millions, more than a billion people are sending salah on him. Right? Imagine how much happiness that must bring to the heart of Rasulullah. then I mean, it is true that we've left so much of the Sunnah of Rasulullah, we slaughtered so much of his deen, but at the very least, I mean, that we pray, and then in our prayer that we send the salat on Rasulullah, even though we do it in ghafla, at least our name gets mentioned before Rasulullah. That's a sharaf that we can only thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We're not deserving of that sharaf. In any case, this is one meaning of salam. Another meaning of salam is barakah, blessings. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send special blessings on Rasulullah. And the third meaning is salam, which is peace. So these are three meanings for salam. The ulama have given other reasons or other definitions of the salat and salam as well. For example, for salat, some ulama have said this means to raise Rasulullah and to award him maqama mahmuda, right, on the day of Qiyamah. It has also been said that when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, this means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send out down a rahmah. But not any rahmah that you and I mean, all of us are living off the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a khas rahmah that is peculiar and specific for Rasulullah. Right? Very special rahmah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he is sending salat on Rasulullah, it means that he is sending down a very khas rahmah on Rasulullah. And then when he refers to the for the mu'mineen or the malaika, it means that we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he sends down this very special blessing, this very special rahmah on Rasulullah that is different from any type of rahmah he sends down on any of his other creations. This action of sending salat on Rasulullah, this has been one of the mark of the religious people all throughout times, and it is a mark of the Salikin. In fact, in part of the very first lesson, every morning we send 100 salawat on Rasulullah, and every night we send 100 salawat on Rasulullah. Right? This is one of the basic things that we begin with when we're trying to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we try to be abundant in our sending of salawat on Rasulullah. There are many benefits to this. And this is not something that the mashayikh said and that they just, you know, devise from their own mind. You look in the hadith literature, you know, there's one narration in which Ubay bin Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, he narrates that there was the Sahaba were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 2/3 of the night had passed. So you know, that even that just tells you a lot about what type of environment Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, you know, create. That the Sahaba are just keeping his suhbah, not only during the day, but the nights are passing, 2/3 of the nights are passing, and they're still in the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he showed how much attention he used to give the Sahaba, and how much time he used to give them. And then he was sitting with them when all of a sudden he told the Sahaba, engage in the dhikr of Allah, engage in the dhikr of Allah, right? Almost as if a warning. And then he told them, you know, he warned them that, the day of Qiyamah is coming, the trumpet will be blown, and the thing that will follow close, on its heel, meaning the second blowing of the trumpet is coming, and that, you know, death is upon its heels. So he really, you know, got the attention of the Sahaba. And then in response, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he said that, Ya Rasulullah, I sent abundant salawat on you. So this is something that they were doing already. And then he said that how much of my time should I devote to sending salawat on you? Because when Rasulullah, the first thing that he warned them, right, even before he told them that the day of Qiyamah was coming close, and he heightened their sensitivity to that, he told them to engage in the dhikr of Allah. And Ubay bin Ka'b, how did he immediately understand that? He said, I'm already selling salawat on you. He said, should I tweak this? How much salawat should I send? How much of my time should I devote of my dhikr time? Which also shows that the Sahaba used to devote time for dhikr. How much should I spend for sending salawat on you? So he said, as much as you please. Then he know, and it, this conversation went back and forth between Rasulullah and Shaykh. He said, have as much as you please, but if you devote more time, then that will be better. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, and should I devote 2/3 of my time that I spend in dhikr just for your salawat? He says, that's fine, as much as you please, it's up to you. But if you devote more than that, it will be better. And then finally he said that, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to devote all my time for salawat. I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to send salawat on you. And he said that this will be enough to suffice all of your worries. He'll take care of all your worries and you will be forgiven. Okay? Another time, it comes in another narration that, you know, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he says that there used to be four or five Sahaba that used to be constantly in the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he, just to make sure, even if he didn't need anything, just in case he needed some assistance, he needed some help, they would just be around him, right? They're just following him around. So one time he came out of his room, right? So he was just waiting. And when he came out and he was went to one of the orchards which belonged to one of the Ansar. So when he was going there, he just followed him because he said, no, what if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs something? What if he needs some water for wudu? Maybe he was thinking, whatever he was thinking, he might need something, so I'm just going to follow him. So he followed him until this orchard. And when he was in the orchard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered his prayer. And when he was offering the prayer, he actually went into sajda. And he did such a long sajda, that the sahabis, so he started to cry. Abdurrahman bin Auf just started to cry. And the reason he started crying is he said that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he's passed away. Because it was that long. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make sajda, he really used to make sajda. And it looked as if he had literally passed away. And this wasn't the first time that, no, this is not only from Abdurrahman bin Auf, the same thing happened with Aisha radiallahu anha. Right, that she worried that Rasulullah had passed away. So this happened, and then Rasulullah, he heard this, and then, you know, he asked the Sahabi, he said that, what happened? What's the matter? And he said that, I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken your soul. And then he said, no, it was not that. But basically, the reason he had made such a long sajda is that the news had come to him, right? And this is clarified in another narration. But basically, that anytime someone sends salat on Rasulullah, then that person, 10 of his sins will be forgiven. Well, 10 good deeds will be recorded for that individual, and 10 of his bad deeds will be forgiven. So, in happiness out of that, he was actually made such a long sajda. And that's actually clarified in the other narration when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, it said that, what are the words? He said, whoever sends salutation to you, I shall send salutations to him. And whoever sends greetings of peace to you, I shall send greetings of peace for him. And it was out of gratitude for this that I prostrated. And he was so happy. He was so happy about this that, you know, one time the Sahaba saw him and they saw that he was so cheerful. They said, there's some type of good news. He said, yes, there's some type of good news. And then he informed him about this. That no, when you send salat on me, that 10 of your bad deeds will be forgiven. 10 of you, 10 good deeds will be recorded for you. And that you will be elevated 10 stages. And that as many mercies will be showered upon you. And this gave so much happiness to Rasulullah. With two things. First of all, you see that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved Rasulullah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy that anyone shows some type of love, some type of connection to his beloved, that he says that I'm going to give you this much. Right? It's like, I'll give you a simple example. If there's a father, right? Generally, the father is always caring about the child and the mother is always caring about the child. They not only care about the child, but they care about the child's friends as well. But sometimes, if the child also honors the friends of the father or the friend of the mother in some way, you know, that, no, Baba, I know that you had a friend. I went and visited him and just to see how he was. This gives so much khushi to the father, right? Because he said that, no, you have so much love for me that you showed honor to those who are even connected to me. And the father showers so many blessings and so much of his dua comes out from his heart for the child. In a very similar manner, when anyone shows some love for Rasulullah, this creates so much happiness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that you send one salat on my Nabi, right, on my beloved, I will give you 10 times, right? You know, 10 degrees and raising 10 degrees, losing 10 sins, 10 good deeds, showering all these mercies, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming so happy. But look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, responded to that. First, he became so happy because this was any type of benefit. There was such a huge benefit that was given to his ummah. And all the time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fikr for his ummah. So he became so happy that he's making sajda. And also, one may surmise, and when one may think that, you know, this is such a great honor. Imagine that, you know, what are they doing? Someone is sending salat on Rasulullah. It wasn't that they were making direct glorification of Allah. So they're sending salat on him. In response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming so happy. He's giving them his ummati so much. So this is so humbling, right? This is so humbling that the creator of the universe has so much attention, so much focus, so much love for Rasulullah. So look at how he responded to that, right? He didn't just say Alhamdulillah and just let it go. He went into sajda so long that the people around him thought that he had passed away. This is the gratitude was coming out of his heart, right? In such a way, the true gratitude, there's different ways a person shows gratitude. Sometimes you feel it in your heart, and then sometimes it comes on your tongue. But when it's very powerful, it takes over your entire body. This is the type of gratitude that Rasulullah showed. He was just in sajda in front of Rasulullah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of this great, great, great ni'mah. So we know, and it should be clear to us, that we should, and so oh, we also said that one of the things that is praising Rasulullah. Understand that there was no person in all of mankind who ever came, who will ever come, who will be more perfect than Rasulullah. He was insani kamil. So when we send salawat on Rasulullah, we should also keep in the back of our mind his perfection, his beauty, his akhlaq, the beauty of his character, his spirituality. And then we should also aspire to bring those characteristics in our own selves. And when you send this abundantly on Rasulullah. The other thing that we should bear in mind is that all the ihsanat that Rasulullah has on us, there's no person who cared more about us, human being, than Rasulullah. Even though he may never have seen us, but there's no person, he cared more for his ummati than a mother cares for her child. And that care will be most manifest on the day of Qiyamah, when everyone will be nafsi nafsi, and Rasulullah will be the one individual who will be worried about his ummah. He will be saying ummati ummati. Right? In, not saying perhaps, but I mean, is the one who, person who will be have fikr for his ummah will be Rasulullah. On a day when يَوْمَ يَفُرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. On that day, the mother when will be running away from the child, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, his wife, his children, people don't care about anything. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ, from every person on that day, شَأْنٌ, there'll be something, like some type of worry, yughni, that it'll just take him over. He doesn't have time to think about anything else except for Rasulullah. He'll be caring. No matter, we can make so much dua for Rasulullah, right? But imagine how much dua he must have made for us. In fact, if we spend our whole life doing dua for Rasulullah, it's not equal to perhaps even one dua that he made for us. In our Shaykh al-Hadith, he should teach us Bukhari. He said it so beautifully. He said that, you know, when I think of all the dua that Rasulullah used to make for us, I feel shy not to make, you know, to respond, to make the dua after the adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salatul qa'ima ila akhirihi. This is making dua for Rasulullah in Maqam Mahmud, so on and so forth. He said that when I think of all the du'as that he had made for me, and you look, right, you look at, just read the hadith, and you'll find how much fikr, how many tears he has shed. We have sent salat to on Rasulullah perhaps our entire lives. How many times and even once we shed tears when we sent salat on Rasulullah? We might not have a single day, a single prayer that we can say that we cried when we sent salat on Rasulullah. We du'a for Rasulullah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send something special. Because, you know, you really think about it. You know, if someone is so rich, and someone is very wealthy, it's very hard to get them anything. Like, can we ever really repay Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There's no way. No matter what we do, we can't repay him. So what we do is we ask, Ya Allah, we're so poor. First of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here with us. If he were here with us, we definitely would not have fulfilled his rights the way the Sahaba did. You know, people say that if I was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it would have been so different, and I would have done this. And, you know, people think all these things. You know, who knows that if we're in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what if we were not able to fulfill the requirements of being the Sahaba? We're already so weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, actually, that He created us in the time we did, so that we didn't desecrate the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't desecrate the deen. We didn't do something that would have na'udzubillah thrown us out of the fold of Islam. It's an easy thing to be a Sahabi. It wasn't an easy thing to the type of sacrifices they made, the type of trials and tribulations they went through, it wasn't easy. So he kept us at this time. Right? And so when we send Salat on Rasulullah, we're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person who gave his entire life for our sake, we cannot do anything to repay him. Ya Allah, from your side, you give him something such that will make Rasulullah happy. Such that will, we cannot fulfill his rights, but you give him so much, so much, so much that you, only Allah can do it. Only Allah can do it. So when a person sends salawat, if a person keeps these type of things in his mind, that Ya Allah, you fulfill, you know, Rasulullah, make Rasulullah happy from our side, make him, you know, give him things that would make him happy, so on and so forth. When a person, for example, remembers the ihsan that Rasulullah has over us, when a person remembers the kamalat of Rasulullah, then there adds depth to the durood that we send on him. Adds depth to the durood we send on him. And the other thing, I'll just mention it because we might not get another opportunity to mention it. When we send salat on Rasulullah, particularly in salah, we say also, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad, kama sallaita ala ala Ibrahim. Right? We don't say Sayyidina in prayer. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Or barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. So we're sending that, you're saying send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send barakah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but how? The way that you did on Ibrahim alayhi sallam. So a person will say that, why is this made the mi'yar? No, I shouldn't say mi'yar, but why this wording particularly? In the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he particularly taught the Sahaba this. Because one time the Sahaba asked, how should we send salawat on you? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. And he kept quiet so long that the Sahaba started to wish, you know, maybe we offended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we wish he never asked that question. Because they weren't usually in the habit of asking Rasulullah some things. They would just learn when Rasulullah would teach them. So they were feeling so, you know, in this state, and Rasulullah then he taught them the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To that effect. Some particularly taught to the Sahaba. So what does this mean? One way that you can take it, when you take al wa ala al on the al of Rasulullah, it means his family, it can also be taken to mean the ummah of Rasulullah. So if we're actually making, invoking this on our own selves. Right? Subhanallah. The rahmah of the deen and rahmah of Allah. And number two, kama barakta ala Ibrahim. So what is the khas about Ibrahim? The beautiful thing about Ibrahim is you look at the progeny of Ibrahim. Look, when a person does good deeds and he reaches a certain maqam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a certain station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you think that what does any righteous person want? Right? What does a righteous person want? What they would want is they want that piety to also come in their children. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the tawfiq, they has made them righteous, has given them whatever good deeds, they also want that their progeny all the way, you know, from generation to generation to generation, they'll also be pious. Right? When we read every day, every week when we make dhikr, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, do not leave me alone when you're the best of inheritors. What a person wants is that spiritual wealth also be inherited to the next generation. Right? They want righteous children that will make dua for them. This is one of the only three things that will benefit an individual once they pass away. Right? Pious progeny, yad'u lahu, that they make dua for him. So look at Ibrahim alayhi salam's progeny. Right? Who were his children? His children, first of all, two of his children were themselves prophet. Ishaq alayhi salam was a prophet. His son was who? Yaqub alayhi salam, he was a prophet. His son, Yusuf alayhi salam, he was a prophet. It was a generation of anbiya, generation. He was nabiyun, ibn nabiyin. I mean, subhanallah, can you imagine? And then look at from the other side, Ismail alayhi salam. Right? The person who had helped Ibrahim alayhi salam build the Kaaba. And from his progeny who came out? Sayyidul anbiya wal mursaleen. No one better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed and how much of mercy he had, khas mercy he had on Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. It comes to another place in the Quran. The other thing which is amazing about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that every single spiritual level that existed, Ibrahim alayhi salam completed all of them. Right? This is something so amazing. You can't even begin to imagine how close, so to the extent that وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as his special friend. He made him his khalil. So when you think about these kamalat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then when you think about it, when you're sending this salat and this barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad, then it has another layer of depth. So we should try to keep these things in mind when we send salat on Rasulullah. We should be abundant in our salat that we send on Rasulullah, particularly on the day of Friday. And this is something that the Sahaba used to say, that they knew clearly. In fact, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said that nothing is as effective in eradicating sin as sending salawat on Rasulullah, right? Or words to this effect. He said that it is more effective in eradicating sin than water is in extinguishing the fire. If you put water on fire, the fire goes away. The same way when you send salawat and Rasulullah, it's purifying your sins, it's getting rid of the sins. And it's also one of the ways, this long discussion of all the other fada'il, right? A person can read it in the appropriate books. And I'll refer them to there. But the main take-home message is a person should realize, have something in their mind when they're sending salat on Rasulullah, inshallah, a deeper meaning. And hopefully that this will become a transformative experience and a means for their forgiveness and their najat on the day of Qiyamah and earning the shafa'ah of Rasulullah on that day his shafa'ah will be sought. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ